of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. I'm sure all of you know that after 3 weeks, we will start a new Coptic year. And with the new Coptic year, we need to re-examine our commitment to the service and how we are serving God in order to start the new Coptic year with a holy zeal and a commitment and a serious dedication to the service. That's why I like to speak with you today about the zeal. Holy zeal is like a fire in the heart of the servant. And this fire is continuously burning and motivating the servant to seek and to search the salvation of everybody. Yes, we understand that I am not the savior of the world. I am not. Jesus is the savior of the world. But as a servant of salvation, as a servant of the Savior, then actually I am part of his plan in serving the world. And by having this fire inside my heart, this actually will motivate me and keep me always, always motivated to search and to seek the salvation of everybody. As my Lord, his wish and his desire, he wants all to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's why on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit descended like tongues of fire. The fire here represents the zeal in the heart of the servant. We can understand this zeal from the Psalms of David. In the third Psalm that we pray in the compliant prayer, remember, O Lord David and all his meekness, David said, I will not enter into my house. I will not climb into my bed. I will not give my eye a sleep, nor slumber to my eyelids, nor rest to my head, until I find a place for the Lord and a dwelling for God of Jacob. In the same way, every servant, he has this zeal in his heart. And he says with David, I will not give rest to myself unless I find the place for God in the heart of everyone whom I am serving. The Lord spoke about this zeal when he said, I came to cast fire on earth. What about if it is kindled? This fire is the fire of the Holy Spirit. And when God actually kindled this fire, all our hearts will be full of zeal. We read in the Psalms also, he who made his angels a spirit and his servants a burning fire. His servants burning fire. Why his servants burning fire? Again, it is a symbol of the zeal. Maybe that's what St. Paul meant in Romans chapter 12 when he said you should be fervent in spirit. Fervent in spirit means your heart is full and igniting with this fire, fire of the Holy Spirit that actually desire everybody to be saved. Jeremiah, because he was oppressed and persecuted a lot when he spoke the word of God. So at the end, he decided, I will not speak. He's a prophet. So actually, as a prophet, he should say the message from God. But because of all the oppression and the persecution, he decided, and the suffering, he decided not to speak. But we read in Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9, that when he decided not to speak, he found the word of God within him, inside his heart, like a burning fire. And he said, I couldn't hold it. And I spoke. So even when he tried and when he decided not to speak, he couldn't. That's actually the state of the zealous servant. This person, when he speaks, you can find his words are full of fire. We have examples in the Bible about people who spoke, and they spoke the word of God, but they did not speak it with zeal. They did not speak it with zeal. Like Ali the priest, Eli the priest, when he rebuked his children, he actually was not serious. He was very, very lukewarm with them. That's why they did not take him serious. In the same way, Lot, when he spoke to his relatives that God actually will destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, he was speaking to them with lukewarmness. That's why, as we read in the book of Genesis, they considered him as joking, because his words were not with zeal. But you can see the opposite exactly. When St. Paul spoke with Felix during his trial, we read while St. Paul was speaking about righteousness and the judgment, Felix was terrified. Why he was terrified? Because his words were anointed with the Holy Spirit. And because of this anointment of the Holy Spirit, Felix was terrified. If you read the sermon of St. Peter in Acts chapter 2, there is nothing unique about this sermon. Actually, he quoted some verses from the Old Testament, and then he explained what happened. That's what the sermon about. But why this sermon actually was able to convert 3,000 persons? There is nothing magic in this sermon. But you know what? Every word was anointed by the Holy Spirit. Every word was like a fire. That's why when the people heard this sermon, they were pierced into their hearts, and they accepted, and they were baptized. So we should actually examine when we speak. Are our words anointed by the Holy Spirit, or just words coming out of our mouth? So the first feature of a zealous servant, that his heart actually is kindled with fire. Kindled with the fire of the Spirit. He cannot have rest, he cannot have sleep, he cannot have slumber, until actually he preach and teach the word of God to every person in his class. The second feature of a zealous servant, he is a man of a fiery prayer, a man of prayer. He understands that he cannot serve without prayer. He understands that his words cannot be anointed with the Holy Spirit if he doesn't know how to pray in his inner room. So in his inner room, he gets on his knees and he prays and says, God, thy will be done as it is in heaven, so be it also on earth. He wants the will of God to be done on earth as it is done in heaven. We can see Jeremiah, who was actually a man of prayer. Not only he preached, but also he was a man of prayer. Prayer with tears. He said, I wish that my head is water and my eyes is spring of tears, so I may cry night and day over the children of my people. He felt, you know, so bad because his country was taken into captivity. That's why he wanted to cry day and night. So when we remember our children, especially those who are drifted away or those who are captives of drugs or sexual immorality, you know, how we remember them? Do we remember them with tears before God? Do we pray for them with zeal and burning fire inside our heart or just we are saying a lukewarm prayer before God. David in his psalm said, I was depressed because of the sinners who left your law. الكآبة ملكتني من أجل الخطاء الذين تركوا ناموسك. I saw those who do not understand and I became depressed because they did not keep your words. My eye drowned in springs of water because they did not keep your law. يقول كده رأيت الذين لا يفهمون فاكتئبت لأنهم لم يحفظوا أقوالك. غاصت عيناي في مجاري المياه لأنهم لم يحفظوا ناموسك. So a person who cried and cried and cried to the extent of sorrow and depression because of the people who did not keep the word of God and were drifted away from the word of God. Actually, even the people whom we perceive they are hopeless case, but what's our attitude toward them? Do we pray for them with zeal, or just to say they are hopeless case, I tried with them and that's it? Let me give you an example from the scripture. King Saul and Samuel. Actually, when Samuel realized that God rejected Saul, he cried all night in prayer for Saul before God, to the extent that God told him, why are you crying to me concerning him? I have rejected him. يقول فاختاز سامويل, اختاز سامويل يعني الدايق. He became upset, he became disappointed, and he cried to God the whole night. اغتاز سامويل وصرخ إلى الرب الليل كله. So, to what extent you are struggling in prayer, in your inner room, between you and God, praying for the people, praying for your class, especially those who were taken captive by Satan. It's very, very important to dedicate a time of prayer for these people. The third feature, so first feature, his heart is full of fire. Second feature, he is a man of prayer. He prays with tears before God. Third feature, he is also a person of positive work. He is not only praying and crying, but also he is doing something positive. Like Nehemiah. Nehemiah, when he heard the news about Jerusalem, how Jerusalem was burned, how the walls was destroyed, how people were in great shame, he cried and he fasted and he prayed before God. But this was not enough for him. After he cried, he started working. He decided, he was the cup holder of the king, so he decided to go and to speak to the king about it. Even he couldn't hold his disappointment or his sadness before the king. And the king asked him, why are you sad? Why your face is down? He told him, how come my face wouldn't be down? And Jerusalem, the city, the tomb of my fathers, is desolate, and its gates are burned, and its wall is destroyed. Then he spoke to the king and he told him, please send me to my city so I build it. يقول له كيف لا يكمد وجهي والمدينة بيت مقابر أبائي خراب أبوابها قد أكلتها النار. إذا سر الملك وإذا أحسن عبدك أمامك ترسلني إلى يهوذا إلى مدينة قبور أبائي فأبنيها. So the zeal of Nehemiah here, it was not just emotions. Sometimes we get very, very emotional and full of zeal, and just we speak with emotions, and that's it. And that's it. Maybe we pray and cry, and that's it. But it was an active and positive working with God. And he went, actually. And although many, many challenges and many opponents faced him, but he did not give up. He took the challenge. And by the grace of God, I'm sure all of you know this famous verse, God of heaven will give us prosperity, and we, his children, will rise up and build. إله السماء يعطينا النجاح ونحن عبيد نقوم ونبني. So in spite of all the challenges, he decided actually to build the walls of Jerusalem. And you read in Nehemiah chapter 8 how with one hand they were building, and with the other hand they were holding weapon to defend themselves against the enemy. And this is actually the condition of the servant. With one hand, he is going, preaching, doing visitation, asking about the people. And with the other hand, he is holding the sword of the Spirit. He is holding his spiritual weapons, actually, to fight back against all the attacks of the enemy. You can see the zeal of St. Paul did not stop when he went to Athens and he saw the city full of idols. And he was very, very disappointed to see Athens, this great city, full of idols. يقول لك احتدت روحه فيه. He became very, very anxious within himself. And he wanted to do something. So the anxiety did not stop here. But this anxiety, good anxiety actually, made him want to do something. So he went to Areopagus and started to speak to people about Christ and about the resurrection of Christ. The same about Apollos. Apollos, one of the beautiful descriptions, like he was fervent in spirit. Like Apollos كان حارب الروح. And he went and he started to preach with accuracy the way of the Lord, arguing and convincing and dialoguing with the Jews, conversing them that Jesus is the Messiah. يقول كان هذا خبيرا في طريق الرب كان وهو حارب الروح يتكلم ويعلم بتدقيق ما يختص بالرب وكان باشتداد يفحم اليهود قهرا مبينا بالكتب أن يسوع هو المسيح. أن يسوع هو المسيح. So this is another example of a fervent spirit, a zealous servant. How he did not stop just by crying and weeping before God, but also by doing something positive in order actually to fight all the attacks of the devil. The first feature, if our feature, as a zealous servant full of fire, the fire of spirit is actually kindling within his heart. Number two, he is a man of prayer, man of tears before God. Number three, he's man of a positive action. He does something positive. He's not only just crying and being emotional, but he does something positive. Number four, he is also intercessor on behalf of the weak. He stands before God and intercedes and cries before God that he may give mercy, that he may be patient with these people, that he may give them another chance, because his heart is full of love and full of zeal for his people and his class. You can see Moses. Moses, he loved his people, although the people actually rebelled against God. But he said to God, you need actually to forgive them. Do you want the Egyptian to say that he took them out of Egypt to destroy them in the wilderness? And if you don't forgive them, take my name off the book of life. So he was intercessor on the behalf of his people. قال له كده, لماذا يا رب يحمى غضبك على شعبك والآن إن غفرت خطيتهم وإلا فامحوني من كتابك الذي كتبت. فواحد واقف قصاد ربنا, he speaking before God, actually as if he is fighting with God, fighting as intercessor, asking God to forgive, asking God to give another chance, asking God to be patient with these people. That's to what extent. Many times we become very judgmental and condemning for the sinners. But let us have the spirit of Moses, who stood because of the zeal in his heart and was a strong intercessor on behalf of his people. To the extent, one of the amazing words, God told him, leave me to destroy these people. ربنا يقول له كده, اتركني. اتركني, as if Moses was holding God. Yes, indeed, Moses was holding God. It is his intercession before God, actually, that made God not to destroy the people. يعني, Moses is standing as intercessor on behalf of the people, and God is saying to Moses, let me destroy the people. اتركني, دعني أهلك هذه الأمة وأجعلك أمة عظيمة. I hope that all of us, we have the spirit of Jacob, who actually fought with God and told him, I will not let you go until you bless me. Maybe we fight with God when it is something concerning me. And most probably we fight when it's about materialistic things, about a job, about success, about somebody who is ill, about moving, about immigration. That's when actually we fight. But how many we fight with God about our own salvation? And how many we fight with God about salvation of others? How many? So let us have the attitude of Jacob and tell him, we will not let you go until you save me and save also my class and save my people. The second example here is the example of St. Paul in Romans chapter 9. He spoke with grief and sorrow about his people. And he said, I wish if me myself be excommunicated from Christ for my brethren according to the flesh. يقول إن لي حزنا عظيما ووجعا في قلبي لا ينقطع. See how powerful these words, great sadness and pain in my heart, continuous pain in my heart for my people. فإني كنت أود لو أكون أنا نفسي محروما من المسيح لأكل إخواتي أنسبائي حسب الجسد. So as if St. Paul is saying, if this will save them, I am willing to accept it. If me being excommunicated from Christ or abandoned from Christ will save my people, I am willing to accept it. What a great zeal that St. Paul had, and what great love that he had for his people. Do we have this love? Actually, 2 days ago, I got a message from a parishioner, and in this message, they told me our priest actually is a great priest, but he didn't know how to love us. He didn't know how to love us. And actually, this reminds me with how St. Paul here was a great and loving person for his people, to the extent he said, I wish that I myself be abandoned from Christ just for the sake and salvation of my people. It is the same zeal with which Abuna in every divine liturgy saying, arise, O Lord God, let your enemy be scattered. Let those who hate your holy name flee from before your face. it is the same zeal that we intercede before God. The fifth feature of a zealous servant, يبقى أول feature, a person, his heart is full with fire. It's a fire of the Spirit. Number two, a man of prayer and tears. Number three, a person of positive action. He does something positive, like Nehemiah. Number four, he is a great intercessor before God, especially for those who are struggling with their sins and with their weaknesses and are taken captive by Satan. Number five, he is a motivator and encouraging those who are weak with true zeal, with genuine love. As we read in 1 Thessalonians, شجعوا صغار النفوس اسندوا الضعفاء تأنوا على الجميع. Beautiful. شجعوا and encourage those who feel little, who feel down. Support those who are weak and be patient with all. See what's written about the Lord Jesus Christ. A bruised reed he does not break, and a smoking flask he does not put off. يقول لك قصبة مردودة لا يقصف وفتيلة مدخنة لا يطفئ. ف the servant who is very zealous for the salvation of everybody will be patient, will be encouraging, will be motivator to others. When God sent the two angels to Sodom and Gomorrah to rescue Lot and his family, نقرأ كده in the book of Genesis that these two angels were pushing Lot out of Sodom. يقول وكان الملكان يدفعان لوط إلى خارج سدوم. So actually this is the work of the servant. All the time he is pushing people, people who want to relapse or want to go back to Sodom and Gomorrah. Actually it's our responsibility how to encourage them, motivate them, push them all the time outside of Sodom. God, our Lord Jesus Christ, he was actually a great motivator. He said to the disciples, let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid. لا تضطرب قلوبكم ولا تجزع. Many times actually, he appeared to the disciples to give them peace and tell them, don't be afraid, I am with you. Even his last words before his ascension, I am with you all the days and unto the end of the ages. When Armenia start to getting weak of all the persecution and of all the opposition, God told him, don't be afraid from their faces. I am with you to deliver you. I put my words in your mouth. I made you a strong city. So they will fight you, but they cannot defeat you because I am with you to deliver you. يقول له لا تخف من وجوههم لأني أنا معك لأنقذك. ها قد جعلت كلامي في فمك. ها أنا قد جعلتك اليوم مدينة حصينة عمود حديد أسوار نحاس على كل الأرض. يحاربونك ولا يقدرون عليك. They will fight you but they cannot defeat you. لأني أنا معك يقول الرب لأنقذك. The same he said to St. Paul. قال له أن لي شعبا كثيرا في هذه المدينة. تكلم ولا تخف. تكلم ولا تسكت لأني أنا معك ولا يقع بك أحد لإزيك. He told him, I have many people in this city. Don't be afraid. Go speak. Don't be silent. I am with you. Nobody will hurt you or harm you. Even when Moses felt very weak and he said to God, I'm not a man of speaking. I'm not a man of speech. God actually encouraged him and he told him, who created tongue to people? Who gives them the power to speech? Isn't it I? It is me. So go, I will be with your mouth. I will put my words in your mouth. He also encouraged Elijah. When Elijah was afraid that all the Queen Isabel killed all the prophets and destroyed the altar. So he fled, and God appeared to Elijah and he told him, why are you here? So he told him, they killed all the prophets and they destroyed all your altars. So he told him, no, I still have 7,000 persons did not kneel to Baal. Go and do something positive. So God actually is always a motivator. And we need actually to be motivator to our student, to our class, to encourage them, to support them, to motivate them all the time. As we read in Psalm 90, 1,000 will fall on your left hand and 10,000 on your right hand, but you, they cannot approach you, but you will see the judgment of the sinners with your eyes. يسقط عن يسارك ألوف وعن يمينك ربوات. خل واحد ماشي كده. I am in the middle. 1,000 fall on my left and 10,000 on my right. But me, although I'm in the middle, nobody can approach me. Nobody can hurt me. But I can see the judgment of the sinners. So a zealous person is one actually who does not put others down, but rather he lifts them up, motivate them, and actually encourage them. Another feature of a zealous person who desire all to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, actually, he walks gradually with the weak. He walks gradually with the weak, step by step. He does not jump and leave them behind. So he does not only encourage them, but he teaches them how to go step by step. Some of us, we think that zeal means to set the bar very high. No, that's actually not the zeal. Zeal actually is like exactly what God did with us. God descended from heaven to our weakness on earth in order to lift us up with him. So he descended to us. That's the mystery of incarnation. He came to us. And again, the zealous person does not set the bar very high to the people, and he wants just them to jump to it. But actually, he goes down and lifts them up gradually, step by step. The scribe and Pharisees, they set it very high. That's why God told them, you are burdening the people with heavy burden. You yourself, you cannot move it. التحملون الناس أحمالا ثقيلة عسرة الحمل لا تستطيعون أن تحركونها. That's why he told them, you did not enter and you did not allow those who want to enter to enter. لدخلتم ولجعلتم الداخلين يريدون أن يدخلوا. لكن how actually to take the weak step by step. In the Council of Jerusalem, the first council, you can read it in Acts chapter 15. If you read the language of the council, you're like, we don't want to burden the Gentiles. We don't want to burden the Gentiles. And لا يثقل على الراجعين إلى الله من الأمم. We don't want to burden them. Sometimes we overburden the people with many rules, many regulations, many expectation. So it will be like heavy burden. But the apostle said, no, we don't want to burden the people who are returning to God. St. Paul understood this. That's why he said to the people in Corinth. Corinth was very struggling church, has many offenses, many weaknesses. So he told them, I did not speak to you as spiritual, but as carnal, as babes in Christ. I give you milk, not solid food, because you cannot eat solid food. Solid food is for those who are spiritually mature. Even the Lord Jesus Christ, he took the disciples gradually. He told them, I have many things to tell you, but you cannot endure it now. اللهم إن لي أمورا كثيرة أيضا لا أقول لكم ولكنكم لا تستطيعون أن تحتملوا الآن. So he is taking them gradually, step by step. by step. That's why we need to have wisdom and how we approach our classes and our students, especially those who are weak, not only motivating them, but actually making the change for them very in a step by step, not in big steps, so they not lose hope, but they will be motivated to continue in the spiritual way. The last point in a zealous person, that he understand that he is working with God. Working with God. So he's not only a man of prayer and he prays and shed tears before God, but he knows that every step, actually, he has to be working with God. Otherwise, this step will fall. I like what St. Paul said about him and Apollos. He said, we are workers with God. And who is Paul and who is Apollos? Paul planted and Apollos waters, but God is the one who actually gives the increase, gives the abundance. We are workers with God. نَحْنُ عَمِلًا مَعَ اللَّهِ. So, if I am doing everything with God, I will have this power from on high. That's why God said to the disciples, don't depart from Jerusalem until you receive power from on high. لا تبرحوا من أورشليم إلى أن تلبسوا قوة من الأعالي. So, can we imagine if the apostles have zeal, but they are not working with God? Do you think they can succeed? Of course not. Let me give you an example from the Bible about a person who had zeal, but he was not working with God. That's why he failed. The example of Moses. In the beginning, when he saw an Egyptian fighting with Israelite, he was actually full of zeal and he killed the Egyptian, but he was not working with God. That's why next day, when he found two Israelites fighting with each other, and he tried to make peace between them, actually, they told him, do you think us like the Egyptian whom you killed yesterday? And Moses actually escaped for 40 years until he started working with God. And you can see the big transformation in the life of Moses. He said to God, unless you go before me, I cannot take these people out of the land of Egypt. So, قال له, لو انت ما مشيتش قصادي انا مش هقدر اعمل حاجة. طب, where is your power yesterday when you killed, or 40 years ago, when you killed the Egyptian, and actually you were younger in age, where is your power? But he realized that he, without God, actually all this zeal can be in vain. So, everything we do, we should actually do it with God. Our visitation, our preparing the lesson, our preaching, if we give any advice to somebody, if we are talking with parents, any activity, any convention, any even sport activity, anything we do, we have to realize that if we are doing by ourselves, not putting all our trust in God, we will fail. So a zealous person is always, always working with God. So I hope that while we are ending this Coptic year and starting a new year, we can keep these 7 points in our mind about the zealous person. And we ask God to kindle His Holy Spirit within us so that we may serve Him with zeal, with wisdom, with faithfulness. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.